brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
Soft Rep Radio, on time, on target. Hope everybody enjoyed their Veterans Day. And I should also say,
Ian, I was really expecting a text of you thanking me for my service.
That is true. I didn't see you, but...
So you're welcome for my service, Ian. You should be groveling at my feet right now, but...
Well, as you always said, the only reason you joined the military is so that civilians can say thank you for your service on Veterans Day.
I was expecting at least a text.
I apologize, but and also I should say, as I wrote down here, 243 years to the Marine Corps.
Yeah,
Todd Apowski is here, a veteran of the Marine Corps, as well as the Special Missions Unit. Back on 365, we had you on talking about Zen Commando, which is coming along. I feel like a lot of you guys know Todd's background, but former Marine Scout Sniper turned Assault Commander for the Special Missions Unit, now the founder and director of Zen Commando. And on 365, we got into your entire background, I feel like, growing up, and then into fitness, into the military, what you're doing now. And I remember Jack saying, like, we have to have Todd back on. We just scratched the surface. So I'm glad we're doing this.
Yeah, it was awesome getting to meet you when you came in studio last time. And I've been actually following your website a little bit, reading, like, the Todd approach to physical fitness and diet. And you eat more fish than I think I could handle, but, you know, yeah, I like it.
I eat more fish now than meat. But first and foremost, thanks for having me back.
Anytime, yeah, man.
Yeah, this is
Anytime.
Great. I love what you guys do, and this is a great opportunity to reach out to our listeners to share with them things they can do differently. And that's the purpose of Zen Commando in Costa Rica. So, again, thanks a lot.
Yeah, anytime. We're happy to have you on. And you said you're looking to take your first group next year?
Yes. We are looking at end of 2019, beginning of 2020. To start bringing folks down. I have updated the website. So
which is zencommando.com.
Zencommando.com. And if you go to the menu, courses and packages, you can scroll down, and the name of the course is Pathfinder Course, and that's going to be our initial course, our Pathfinder course. It's 5 days long, and I'm looking at launching that late next year, early 2020.
Well, for people who haven't listened to the previous episode, don't really know what we're talking about, what's the Pathfinder course going to be? I mean, you said it's down in Costa Rica. I know you have a property down there. What's the course curriculum?
So essentially, think about it as a boot camp for Zen Commando. It's 5 days in length. And what we do is we teach you a number of life hacks. We all oftentimes we look back in life and we say, man, I wish I knew that, you know, whether it pertains to fitness or business, whatever. What we did was we compiled all these lessons learned throughout my experience and others, and we've condensed all those principles, these learning points, into a 5-day program that are focused on three pillars. Those pillars are relationships, mindset, and habits. So you come down, and for 5 days, we just focus on those things, relationships, your habits, and your mindset. And we use different venues, fitness, meditation, yoga, hikes, and a workshop each day. And it's all principles-based. You know, you can take what you want from it. We just give you the tools. It's an information module, 5 days. And there's no yelling, no screaming. It's just having a good time. Relaxed environment.
You're not going to yell at people while they're on the dip bars?
There's potential for that. I might have someone else do it, you know, but I won't. I want to encourage.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
I want to encourage.
No, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about how important some of that stuff is, especially for the younger guys who get out of the military, and myself included. When I first got out of the military, and like I felt like I realized in retrospect, like you were saying, I wish I knew those things now. Yep. Like the way I related to other people and the way I addressed other people, like in the military, we're like super aggressive, and if somebody's not doing their job, like you're gonna get in their face. Why the hell didn't you do this and that? In the civilian world, you can't really address people right. like that. And it's not effective either.
No. No. And I found, like you've heard me say before, principles remain the same. And principles of leadership remain the same, too, no matter where you go. And I think communications, something I learned quickly when I got out, is people are incentivized differently.
Right, right.
Than, say, in the military. You know, what motivates people? And it pays dividends to get to know people. Mm-hmm. To sit down with them in the workplace, and they appreciate that. And oftentimes I talk on the phone or I chat via Facebook or other messaging platforms just to check in on people. And I have an open door policy. You can hit me up anytime, 24/7. But getting to know people is important, and finding out what drives them, what motivates them. Because unlike in the military, what drives us is the nation, the flag, our brothers and sisters. In the real world, everyone's incentivized differently.
Right.
And I feel and think that if you know what drives them, what their purpose in life, you can better communicate.
It's hard to do, I find, and what you were talking about, like communicating with people electronically. Like we run a distributed business. We have people all over the place, as opposed to being a team leader or squad leader in the military where you're very hands-on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you have a distributed network of people you're trying to run, I know I struggle with it personally, and sometimes I come up short.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that employees start to feel a lot of uncertainty, mm-hmm. and it's not necessarily because something bad is happening or because they're not doing a good job, but because the communication yep. Maybe it's me personally not communicating effectively, or maybe it's just the nature of the medium and it's difficult yeah. to have that hands-on approach.
Absolutely. I see it all the time. You know, and I think one of our responsibilities as leaders is anxiety management. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's managing information. And being a leader in today's day and age, it's extremely difficult. You know, it is extremely difficult, and when I was leaving the military a number of years back, it seemed leaders were getting more and more removed
yeah.
from the trenches.
Big time.
Because the technology makes it sometimes easy to do, and you know, you have to recalibrate and really get out there and walk the lines, go out to the trenches, you know, check up on people, and those principles, like I say, remain the same. And you really have to have a solid communications plan. And that's what we talk about in Zen Commando. Part of the curriculum is, what is your communications plan? You know, how do you use social media? How do you employ your Facebook? How do you employ your LinkedIn, your website? You know, how are you communicating and getting that information out throughout those platforms so people are aware?
That's like something like when we had, Peter Singer on the other day. It's like, that's because of the world we live in. That's like something we need to be teaching kids in high school now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But of course, it's never too late to learn.
Never too late. And I just before coming up, I made a post on my Facebook. It said, always know where you're at on the map. Always know your location. And I think the same holds with people, too. You know, you should know where you stand with your boss.
Yeah.
You know, where your boss stands with you. And if you're walking into work, walking on eggshells, or coming home at night, walking on eggshells, not feeling comfortable, you have to open up those communication platforms. You know, and I was guilty of it. There were lots of times in the military where I did not understand my people. There was a breakdown in communication. 90% of the time it was due to communication breakdown. You know, I was hearing things one way, I wasn't listening to another angle. There's three sides to every coin.
Yeah. Anytime I've had that issue in my life, I notice that when you have like a face-to-face in-person meeting, things are usually like a lot smoother than technology kind of screws us over sometimes because you can't really tell how the message is being sent when it's an email or a text message.
It's a lot harder for people to lie to your face, too.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, just add a emoji at the end of your message, you know, happy face or angry face.
Yeah, I mean, we're becoming like robots. Yeah, we don't do this and just have like face-to-face conversations and get to see things on common ground. I think that's probably one of the divides of the military and then moving to the corporate world or something like that.
Yeah, and looking back, and I ask folks in the military, particularly with officers, how the training has evolved. Has it evolved? Are the young men and women going in the military today to our officer training schools, is the training still the same? Is it differently? Is it different? I mean, do they still have you reading the same books, Clausewitz and Napoleon, or are you reading business books, communication books?
You might know a little better, right? I mean, you're a few generations
You mean
later.
At like the academies and things like that? I don't know what's on the reading academies. List, tell you the truth.
You know, dealing with certain issues, you know, how to be a little bit more, you know, compassionate.
But is what you read what Todd read? I'm just curious.
I mean, that. I was an NCO, so they didn't have me reading anything other than field manuals.
Yeah, same here. Okay. Same here. When I was an NCO, you go to Sergeant Academy. Here's your.
But I mean, I am somewhat familiar with the Commandant's reading list, and there's some good titles on there.
Good, good,
yeah,
good. You know, those people skills, you know, are vital. You know, sometimes those things aren't taught.
I remember you saying that was the biggest lesson you took away from your time with the Army Special Operations was the importance of relationships.
Relationships, yeah. relationships. And I've just dug deeper into that since that time. And I found that relationships are more than just human interaction. You know, and going back to Zen Commando, one of our pillars is relationships. And we talk about relationships with yourself, with your surroundings, your environment, and then with others. Because if you don't have a sound relationship with yourself, you're not going to have it with others. Mm-hmm. Because what you project is what you reflect. You know, when you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, are you giving thanks? You know, when you walk out the door, how do you see the world around you? Doom and gloom, or you know, are you kissing Mother Earth? Yeah, I mean, these are just little tidbits. These little hacks to help you get along better with your environment, to help yourself out. And I have these priorities of work each morning I do when I wake up, you know, and studying and just getting my mind right so when I step out the door, you know, I can more effectively communicate and help out.
I don't think I'm quite as thoughtful or deliberate about it as you are, but I do find that there's like a tremendous amount of.
I need to be.
It sounds like you have a process you go through daily, but I find that there is some solace in just reflecting on how fortunate we are. This is what I was when Andrew Wilkow was asking me during his Veterans Day event the other day. I was like, look, we live in the greatest country in the greatest time in history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I, we've both seen villages and how little kids are in Afghanistan, Iraq, places like this, elsewhere in the world. And the difference is so stark, mm-hmm. and so different. It's almost like the human race is evolving into two separate species because we're heading in such divergent directions. So, I mean, I am infinitely grateful and thankful to be where I am in life. And that helps keep things in perspective. When something makes you sad or something upsets you, just to remember kind of where you are in life.
Yeah, so true. So true. And I oftentimes have these images overseas just seeing starvation.
Yeah.
You know, you never truly understand something until you see it and experience it. And I remember one time we were at the embassy in Monrovia, Liberia, we were doing non-combatant evacuation of them.
Neo-ops.
A neo.
Back before 9/11, that was like the thing everyone trains for, yeah.
It was 1996, I believe.
And, oh, so you were involved in the embassy evacuation.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Gotcha.
The Marine Expeditionary Unit at the time was called up to mm-hmm. assist facilitating people getting out of the embassy. And I remember walking the perimeter one evening around the embassy, or it was early morning, and seeing these two young local kids outside of the fence, just skin and bones. The skin was just draping off their bones and flies coming in and out of their nose and ears. And you know, I just see that image, and I threw them some MRE crackers over the fence. and they just started brawling.
Over them, yeah.
Over a packet of crackers.
The priorities are different in these parts of the world.
And I look at how we waste food here and just take things for granted. And yeah. I just go back in time and go, man, you know, we are so blessed, so fortunate. We live in an amazing country.
Yeah.
We really do.
One of the things that always stands out in my mind, I'm sure I've told this story on the podcast somewhere in the 400 some odd episodes, but we were in this very remote village in northwestern Iraq in 2009. And we were in this village and I was like adjusting. It was a normal just meet and greet kind of thing at this village. And I set my rifle down, leaned it up against the MRAP because I was adjusting my plate carrier. And this little kid, probably like 4 years old, took a beeline running towards my gun. I was like, oh, that's not good. And I scooped the kid up so before he got to the rifle. And I used to like babysit my neighbor's kids when I was in high school. So I know how much like a toddler should weigh. And this kid like flew up in my arms. I didn't realize like these kids are malnourished. They're dehydrated. This kid was like a feather. Like he didn't weigh anything. And I remember him just like looking up at me with like this fear in his eyes. He was so scared. And that's just something that always stuck out in my mind. Like, you know, the poverty, extreme poverty in some of these places.
It's survival mode for them.
Yeah.
It's survival. Every day is survival.
And sometimes we misunderstand that as Americans, or particularly as American soldiers, we think they're quote-unquote bad people.
Right.
They're just trying to survive.
They're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they're called savages, which I'm not a fan of calling anyone a savage. You know, they just don't know. You know, and they live in these countries that they just, you know, you have to feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Help them out the best you can. You know, and it's not their fault. You know, so... Yeah.
So that's like your America appreciation deployment right there. Yeah. So when you turn on the news or you look at social media and you hear these fairly well-to-do Americans talking about how we live in this dystopian country and everything is collapsing, I'm not saying people shouldn't be politically involved or sit down and shut up. I'm not telling anybody to do that. But you have to take these things in measure, I guess,
sure.
is what I'm saying.
Yep. And get out of your bubble.
Yeah.
You know, we all live in different bubbles. You know, you have the Manhattan bubble, New York bubble. San
Absolutely. Big time.
California, living in California for the time I did, you had a Southern Cal bubble and Northern Cal bubble, and everyone lives in their bubble. Most important thing is get out of your bubble and learn about other people, other cultures, and understand how they operate so you can better relate. You know, it goes back to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to relationships, nurturing, cultivating, fostering positive relationships. Because I don't think you can have a positive impact until you understand them. You know, what are their drives?
Was there something you went through in your own life where you made this transition? Because people would probably think, guy who served in Special Missions Unit, the Marine Corps, you don't really associate that. For most people, with yoga, with meditation, with like self-reflection and all this stuff, was there some traumatizing experience maybe where you said, wow, I need to like... get myself together and make a different impact on the world and, you know, into what you're doing now with Send Commando?
You know, I don't want to say it was a traumatic experience. Probably when I got out, transitioned out of the military. You know, you're thrown into this new environment. I spent 26 years in the military, and stepping out, it was this whole new environment. And I love to read. I love picking up knowledge and just trying to figure out new ways of doing things. And living, you know, I went from Marine Corps grunt infantryman to San Francisco, California. That was culture shock.
Yeah.
Truly a culture shock. But that's what we do in special operations. We go from one environment to the next, and we assimilate, and we learn about that environment. And I had a lot of different experiences with different types of people. And what I identified early on was I need to be able to relate to them. If I want to succeed in this new environment, I need to break bread with them.
So you go native and like start getting some skinny jeans and, you know.
Skinny jeans, I tried them. They didn't fit over my calves. You know? I tried, but I got some hipster boots.
Yeah, there you go.
But they wore out quickly. close. But I really started getting engaged with the local population. You know, that's what you do. That's the principle of survival. you know, interact with the locals, find out what they're doing. And it was a great experience. And since then, I've just been on this kick of just learning about relationships, more than just interacting with humans, but about myself too, self-reflecting.
How have you taken to that down in Costa Rica? I haven't been down there in over 10 years now, but yep. I wonder, how are you getting on with the locals down there? What's the situation like culturally for you?
Beautiful, beautiful country, beautiful people, very community-based, mm-hmm. okay? Costa Rica is a population of maybe 4 million people. I think it's 4.5 million people. And it's very natural environment, very community-oriented and traditional in a lot of sense. The Latin culture, and they're beautiful people and very authentic. Okay. And what I've learned in operating in these environments is that they have their ear to the ground. You know, they know everything. You know, it's kind of walking in to a new environment overseas, wherever it may be. You know, they can smell you coming a mile away. It's very primal. You know, they know authenticity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and these other
If you're
types,
up to no good, they feel
they
it right
know,
away. Yeah.
And word gets around quickly. So you need to do the right thing. You know, you need to be cognizant of your behavior. And that's something we're taught. I remember many times during deployment in the Marines, before we'd go in country, they give us these classes and lessons on culture awareness. You know, don't show the soles of your feet.
Oh, in Thailand?
Yeah, or in Iraq or
That's a thing
East.
In Iraq, too.
Yep. Just be cognizant of that. And those principles remain the same. And I'm very cautious and very careful and just being mindful of their culture and being able to relate to them. And they know energy. You know, they know they can smell energy, just like we do on the streets, you know. So I'm just much more in tune.
There's definitely a way to go down there and be a good expat versus a bad expat.
Yep.
Because there's the people like John McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
Who go down to Belize and just wreak freaking havoc.
Yeah, you can't take advantage of people.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. Yeah, you go down there with ill intention, wanting to steal or make money. You know, I want to give back to people with all things, and I want to help local economy and give them, show them different things of, you know, processes and relating to things. So, you know, I want to just as much positively influence their environment as I do here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on that note, there's also a way to be a good tourist versus a bad tourist, you know, and there's nothing wrong with going down there and contributing to their local economy, do some scuba diving. It's beautiful.
And I see tourists come down all the time and you can see an American a mile away. You can hear, you hear them first.
The white tube socks and
demanding, you know, thinking their way is the right way. But, that's not always the case. Not always the case.
How does starting a business in Costa Rica differ from starting a business in America?
Things take time. You know, things take time to get done, particularly when you're relying on the local commerce, lumber. You know,
oh, yeah.
Things of that nature.
It's all got to be sourced locally.
It has, you know, it's not like Amazon. Nothing is at your fingertips down there like it is up here. That's why it's taken me a while. I have a year plan to get this created and built up. Internet took me a while to get hooked up.
Satellite,
vehicle procured. I wanted just the right type of vehicle. I needed a 4x4 vehicle because there's six rivers I have to cross to get to the camp. And but things take time. And it's just getting help, getting the right person, vetting people to do the job. So, I would say the biggest difference is just the time.
Is this a pretty remote area? Because I remember going to Drake Bay back in 2004. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 2004. I went in Drake Bay, and at the time, there were no roads in or out. It was just you can fly in or there's a ferry.
Yeah. It's not as easily accessible. It's not remote. It's just difficult to get to because the infrastructure... you just don't have paved roads everywhere you go. My driveway, it's a 2-mile trail that goes through the jungle. I carry a pickaxe and shovel and ropes and chains. Nice. And every time I go down the driveway, I'm improving. I'm filling a hole or chopping up a stone, machete. Have to have a machete. You know, it's pretty neat living in that type of environment, and you take things for granted. You would compare
the Amazon drone can fly you in a box of anything you want.
I thought about that as a potential business plan down there, but it's just getting the mobile app to people to sign up for that. I don't see that going anytime soon down there. But things are really more hands-on down there. Technology doesn't drive the train as much as it does up here. But just being part of the community.
I think a lot of people don't realize like how crazy the way Americans do business is. We're like, we do a lot of things on a handshake and on a whim that would like never, ever fly in other parts of the world.
Right, right.
Because it's based on relationships.
Yep.
And if that kind of trust isn't there and you don't have that longstanding relationship, people won't work with you.
Right, and trust is important. You know, you really have to take the time, you know, to meet your neighbors and get involved. Yeah, and connect with folks down there.
So let's just say someone, whether they're a veteran or even a civilian who wants to get involved in this, they take the week off work, take the week off whatever they're doing in life, and they want to go to Costa Rica and be a part of Zen Commando. Like, what is 1 week with you like?
Right. So 1 week, we're looking at 5 days. You know, that's a Pathfinder course, and they fly in. They make their way to the camp, and we spend a lot of time together doing meditation, fitness. We have a workshop each afternoon focused on one of the three pillars, whether it's relationships, mindset, or habits. And just a lot of time out in nature, getting personal, and getting your mind right, body. Every day we wake up, meditate, go through a fitness program, which is about 90 minutes long, total body core centric, low impact at your own level. It's for all ages. We provide the food. You're going to eat healthy. It's substance free. So there's no alcohol or any type of other sorts of substances.
No ayahuasca or anything.
No ayahuasca. nothing kooky.
That is the last thing I would need if I were to go down there.
Excuse me. And we do nature hikes. We'll go to the market. Each day there'll be a mystery event planned, which will be maybe a trip to a local waterfall, local farm, seeing the community. If you want to surf, I'm going to have mountain bikes available for people to mountain bike. But there'll be a daily schedule of events that will be you'll have to participate in, but you'll get free time too. You know, we'll have a siesta in the afternoon, you know, where you can take your nap after lunch.
All right.
And it's going to be a great time. A lot of learning.
Sounds cool.
A lot of learning. So very natural, healthy, organic.
And are you still looking for guys who are, you know, maybe former spec ops to help you out with any of this?
I am. And I just posted an ad for a primary yoga instructor, assistant director. So that's out there. So I am looking for someone that's a yoga instructor to come down December of 2019 for 5 months, you know, to be part of this, to be a part.
Good gig if you're qualified.
Pretty cool.
Down in Costa Rica for 5 months.
For 5 months. Yeah. You know, you just come down, teach yoga once a day, and maybe lead some meditation, some nature hikes, cook a few meals, but... You know, it's 5 months in Costa Rica. Come down. You know, I provide everything, Wi-Fi, sleep accommodations, fitness facility. I'm putting together the fitness facility now. Had a donor offer some weights and some equipment.
Cool.
So a lot of folks donating, wanting to come down, help out. But go to Zen Commando, and if you want to contact me to come down anytime, feel free to help out. But a typical day, pretty much as I said, you can go to Zen Commando, check it out. I have the schedule events laid out up there, what we're going to do each day. And I'm open to input and any suggestions, too, because this is going to change. This is going to evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will not fall in love with it. it's going to change. If someone has a better idea... instead of Pathfinder, the name of the course, by all means.
I'm excited to see how it evolves from, you know, point A to point B.
Yep. And the goal, eventually, I'd love to have a girl commando course where it's just females come down and they go through their own type of program of survival skills and just a girl-only program, a program for youth, leadership, and survival skills. And then also those outreaches or programs for executives, teamwork, team building, things of that nature. But first, I want to focus on those vets that are transitioning out of the military, or they may be going through some difficulties coping,
right,
whatever it
right.
may be. We've all been there. You know, and I don't want to sell the Pathfinder course as like a healing recovery therapy course. It's not. Yeah, I don't want it to be that. It's just tools that you can use in your toolkit to realign yourself.
Yeah,
yourself it sounds like it's more, almost like a, not maybe want to say life coaching, but like lifestyle training
sure,
or something
exactly.
like that.
Sure, exactly. Yeah. Yep, all these principles. You know, here they are, fitness. You know, do these five things. You know, you'll be fine. You know, eating right. Here are the five things, do's and don'ts. Here's the principles. Spiritual awareness. You know, here are the five things. You know, take it from here.
There's so many of those things that are like, actually, they sound simple on the surface, but like scheduling your day.
Yeah.
Like that's huge. At least for me, it's proven to be big.
Right. And that's where it comes into power, the habits.
Right.
You know, and we talk about habits, and part of instilling those keystone positive habits is having your day lined out, is having those scheduled events, you know, and then thinking about it the evening prior. You know, is your gear and equipment laid out? So when you wake up, everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that all goes into developing those good habits.
Like you were saying earlier, like, oh, I got to get home so I can work out today. It's like, okay, I mean, yeah, we can be, well, that's another thing about special operations guys is we tend to get obsessive about whatever it is we're into.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, having a schedule for physical fitness, there are worse things in life.
Sure. Sure, and you've heard the term priorities of work.
Yeah,
you know, in the military, and I'm writing something now. I'll probably launch a release in a couple of days about my experience at Ranger School. When I was a young Marine, I had an opportunity to go to Ranger School, and an amazing experience, Ranger School, and to me, that's the ultimate leadership. It's more of a leadership school.
Yeah.
Than learning tactics. And, you know, they talk about priorities of work. You know, and these are things that every time you stop at a security hall, you go through these priorities of work. You know, making sure security is out. Instilling everyone and making sure everyone knows where they're at on the map. You know, passing that information around. And the same thing holds true in life. You know, where are you at on the map? You know, you have to know where you're at on the map. Otherwise, you're going to get lost. You know, does the person on the left to your right know where they're at? And that's same in the business place, you know, in the work setting. Does everyone know where they're at, where the company's going to? You know, things of that nature. But those priorities of work, you know, that's where those habits come into play. You know, making sure you're developing those keystone habits. Then identifying, learning about the habit cycle, you know, the cue, the routine, and the reward. And if you have a bad habit, how to disrupt that. How to break that. I had a habit 15 years. I chewed tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, I wake up and put a, you know, pinch of tobacco.
Big fatty.
Big fatty. Oh, my goodness. I was just muscle memory. It was a habit.
Well, back when you went to Ranger School, you were still allowed to dip.
Yeah. You know, I was told, hey, Todd, before you go, you know, you have to pick up dipping.
Because it gives you a little buzz and
yeah.
It keeps you awake.
Yeah, you know, it curbs your appetite and it keeps you awake. I'm like, yeah, it's a great idea. That was like my precursor, you know, prepare me to go to Ranger School. You know, start dipping. And I did that for 15 years.
Wow, yeah.
15 years.
I dipped for only like 2 or 3 years while I was in the military. And I quit the day I ETS'd out of the Army.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. But then I went through another patch where I was dealing with some difficult things after I got out of the military and I took up smoking.
Yep.
So it took me about 2 years to quit that.
Yeah.
So I'm done now, but
yeah. You know, with alcohol, you know, I had a, mm-hmm. you know, I was hitting the bottle for a while too. I mean, we all go through these things.
Well, that's another thing. Soldiers, especially young soldiers, have a kind of a jacked up relationship with alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, it's encouraged too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're supposed to drink beer and throw bottles at one another and go out and fight. It's like part of culture.
Well, having a few beers is all good, but it's to the point where like, when we go out and you know, we'll hit a bar and it's like 20 shots of 20 different liquors, like probably not healthy or even sane to attempt something like that.
Yeah, and then go home or go back to the barracks after all night party and wake up at 6 o'clock with only 2 hours of sleep and go pee.
5 mile run, bro.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Here we go.
I cannot do that, man. I haven't drank in years, really. You know, I've had like one or two in the past couple of years, very rarely. But when I did drink, I could not imagine having to like do a rucksack march.
We're talking about when we're like 19, 20, yeah. 21.
I still don't think I couldn't
do it today.
I don't think I could, man. That's actually one of the main reasons I'm not into it, because it does interfere with the fitness stuff so much. And the fitness stuff for me, people who say they don't have time for it, it really positively impacts every other aspect of your life. So that's why I feel like people might say, I don't have 5 days to go to Costa Rica.
Sure.
When they come back, they'll probably have a different mindset.
They
and
will.
They'll be more efficient with the work that they have.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's the goal. You know, come on down. I want to set you up for success back here. And these are tools and lessons you can apply immediately, you know, immediately into your life, where you can have positive impact with yourself and those around you.
Because you know what I noticed? So I came from the world of radio, where it's like working 8 hours a day for a pretty much typical like 9-to-5 type thing, to doing this now where it's more of your own schedule. And from what I noticed, all of my jobs in like the 9-to-5 world, about a good 5 hours of that is work. And then the rest of it is a lot of gossiping with coworkers, slacking off, like bullshitting. Yep. And when you get that fitness and all that stuff out of the way, I think your focus is on like, I want to get to these other hobbies, so I want to be as efficient as I can in these 5 or whatever hours that I'm going to work and be in the right mindset to accomplish whatever my task is.
Yep, so true. And that's why I think your priorities of work in the morning, from the time you wake up or even before you get out of bed, you know, I mean, it starts when you wake up. You know, how are you thinking? Are you smiling? I mean, it sounds kooky, but, you know, before you get out of bed, you know, smile. You know, give thanks.
You do live that, by the way. Right when Todd saw me off the elevator, he's got like giant smile.
I have to. Otherwise, I'd be going off the train track wanting to throat punch everyone I see. Seriously, that's how I am. And I don't want to be that way.
Yeah.
Because I've lived that in that manner.
Yeah.
Before, especially when you go in the military and you go to your first unit and you take pride, everyone else sucks. You know, you're the best, this and that. And it's just you know, you're measuring yourself against everyone else, and you're in your own bubble. And something I've taken away in life now is that it's more than that.
Yeah.
It truly
is. When you're in that frame of mode and when you're in the military, it's like you size everybody else up.
You do.
But then when you get out, you're in the civilian world. No one here gives a shit if you can deadlift 600
pounds.
No
one cares.
No one
matters. Yeah.
You know, that you were a Marine Corps officer, no one's
asked me that. No one's asked me.
Not even Ian will text me thanking me for my service on Veterans Day. My friend of like 6 years can't get a text. No one gives a shit.
No one does. It doesn't matter.
But I mean,
I'm gonna get tweets now.
That's like
people.
That's a little ego blow. I mean, honestly, for every guy who gets out and their military experience meant something to them.
It does.
And now you have to. You can't go around trying to shame your own culture and society into loving you. You have to be a better person.
Right, and that's where it starts. Just being a better person. You know, and everything else will come with being a better person. And you know, then people will ask you, hey, you know, what did you do? You know, then you can share your story.
Yeah.
You know, and how that positively influenced who you are today. You know, I mean, you want to establish and develop a environment or a sphere around you where people are interested. You know, you want to open up. You know,
be a good example.
Be a good example, so you're accessible. Yeah. And for a long time, I wasn't that guy. You know, and I wasn't going anywhere, and I was developing unhealthy relationships. You know, with those around me, and it's not good. You know, it isn't. In the end, it's not going to do anyone any well.
You know what I was wondering? When former teammates heard that you were opening up your own business and stuff like that and creating this, did any of them assume, like, Oh, shooting instructor. Oh, I feel like that's that's what you would usually go into. And this is almost like the antithesis of that.
Yeah, it is. This is soft skills, not so much the hard skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of folks hit me up after the initial podcast, and they're like, hey, y'all come down and teach jiu-jitsu and, ninja star throwing and pistol.
Repelling through skylights.
And things of that nature. But those are just instruments. Those are tools. Those are other different types of tools. These are the soft skills, that I've found that are invaluable. And I didn't pick this up until I went into my time in Army Special Operations, where I really was placed in a position where you had to apply those soft skills.
Well, some of the things you've been talking about are things that I wish that they taught in the military. As a way, because guys are deploying, coming home.
Man.
And I feel like there has to be some kind of way to deal with the PTSD in the process.
That's it. And I've asked some senior leaders, what are we putting in place to do that? Like meditation, yoga. And I know that goes against everything we've ever heard and we've been taught. But like I tell folks, I've studied combat my entire life. Even growing up as a kid, it was a combative environment. you played football on the streets and you tackled one another. I mean, Nerf football, a friendly game of touch football, ended up with blood in the pavement. Then I went in the military, you learn more combat. But I've never studied peace. What is peace? What are the ingredients to peace? And going back decades ago when I picked up my first team, I think I shared this story last time. I had a mentor that shared with me. He said, Todd, the most important thing you need to create in this team is harmony. And it didn't click. I didn't even know how to spell harmony. And I had to go back and look it up. But it was so right. I mean, a harmonious work environment, a peaceful.
Are you talking about it while you're still in the military?
Yeah.
Especially with what you were doing, where you have a bunch of really high-strung dudes who are wired up.
Wired up. And you're right. Up.
The officer in charge has to be that guy to, like,
And I was enlisted. I was enlisted at this time. I was a new sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still, getting a new recon team. And he's like, hey, harmony. You have to create harmony.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, wow, how do I do that? And harmony is peace. Yeah, I mean, harmony is making everyone, feel valued and getting the team working together. And, the military does a great job with that in the boot camp, Marine boot camp. We bring people together as teams. And I think the military does a phenomenal job of bringing people off the street and really bringing them together as a team, breaking them down. Marine Corps boot camp, within seconds of getting off the bus, your head is shaved. Everyone is green. There's no color involved. And but getting to the point, studying peace. And I think I've always been fond of martial arts and Eastern philosophy, and they do things differently. They study peace first.
Have you ever read the Hakaguri?
No.
As I can't remember the samurai's name, but he wrote these like treatises on basically about Bushido and about the ways of the samurai, the philosophy of the samurai, essentially trying to define what constitutes a good life for a samurai. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine recommend it to me, and I read it, and it was actually very, very interesting.
Yep. Yep. But those principles, it's the same. Even from back then, they still apply today.
Yeah.
And understanding peace and the components of peace and healthy relationships. And if you look at the geopolitical environment, not to get too deep into it, but what I've found is that wherever there is no peace, there's instability. And wherever you have instability, there's no security. So one of the foundations of establishing sound relationships is having a good security plan, and establishing security amongst each other. And I use security in an umbrella-like fashion, and there's all these different components of security, first and foremost being trust. You have to establish trust. And how do you go about establishing trust? You can establish trust without even being in the same place with a person through emails, text, reliability, showing up on time. And going back to you know, living in Costa Rica, establishing a trustworthy relationship with, you know, new people around me. You know,
well,
you have to take the time and be on time. And
related to security, I mean, this is kind of counterintuitive, but I noticed with a lot of veterans, and I think it's related to a lot of the things that we've been talking about, making that transition out of the military, I notice a really profound sense of insecurity with a lot of veterans.
Sure. And that's normal. Yeah. And that's part of your first relationship, yourself, focusing on yourself. And if you have hesitations or insecurities, what are you doing to improve upon them? And that goes back to mindset. You know, one of the pillars we talk about in the Pathfinder course is mindset. Do you have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? You know, a growth mindset is open to change. You know, looking deeply at yourself at the end of the day and going, what could I have done differently? You know, what can I do better? And there's a lot of insecurity in this world, just not with folks getting out of the military.
Right,
but
in general.
Just in general, there's a lot of insecurity, people not feeling good about themselves. And that goes back to habits, priorities of work. What are you doing in the morning? Are you eating right? I mean, why are you feeling insecure?
Well, it gets a little philosophical, but I mean, one of the interesting things about being a human being is that you have this ability to evolve and change and take your experiences and derive things from them. I think some people get caught up in that mode of being static, that you're always going to be like this, but going through change and even through things that some people would say are traumatic, I mean, they can be this tremendous growing experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think someone had eventually, who recently recoined, instead of PTSD, they said PTGD, post-traumatic growth development. You know, where you're growing from the bad things that you've been involved in.
Like what we were talking about, seeing the poverty in certain parts of the world, which that's for the people who go there, and I mean, this sounds completely not empathetic towards people who live in these situations, but it has an effect on you and me too, and other soldiers who go over there and experience these things. But what do you take away from that? And I think what we were talking about was trying to take away something positive about is that we realize how fortunate we are.
Yes. Yes. And just having a sense of gratitude, just being thankful for who you are and, do your best to change others' lives in a positive manner.
Well, that's a good message, too, as we go into Thanksgiving next week.
Yeah.
What are you thankful for?
Be thankful.
Yeah.
You know, be thankful for that turkey you're eating. But mindset is huge. Do you have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset? I grew up in a fixed mindset environment. And I was telling Ian earlier before the show started how I was brought up one way of thinking. Yeah, I was never allowed to ask why growing up. You know, it's like, hey, do as I say, you know, because I'm telling you.
Yeah, there are two ways to do things, the Ranger way and the wrong way.
The Marine Corps way of doing things, and that's it. You know, the Army way of doing things is not the right way. It's like, come on.
You must have broke out of that pretty early, though, if you just look at your resume. Prior to joining the military, becoming a bodybuilder, like, these are things that you have to have intense dedication.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I found myself in situations where I had to evolve. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. You know, you have to be open. You have to be open to change. And even going when I did my time at Special Mission Unit, it was sink or swim. You know, they're not going to hold your hand. They are not going to hold your hand. Hey, you're the guy. You're the person in charge on the ground. You know, make it happen. We're not going to hold your hand. And it's like sink or swim. Do or die. You're given the tools. You know what the right thing to do is. And Bob Trevino said, I remember from his podcast, there is an expectation of you to always do the right thing. That's the expectation.
Yeah.
We're not going to hold your hand.
They're like, we selected you.
We selected you based on our expectation of you doing the right thing. Go fix it. Solve the problem. We're not going to hold your hand. You know, you know the law. You know the rules of engagement. And you have the resources at your disposal. Yeah, use it. Yeah, but just do the right thing. You know, so.
Do you miss the military? I mean, you had a long career, so.
I miss the camaraderie. You know, the esprit de corps. I miss interacting with some of the folks and the traveling, but you know, it's not like I lose sleep over it at night. You know, it was a great institution, and I credit where I'm at today from my experiences and all those that I've met and the mentors I had, all the NCOs, NCO leadership, the corporals and sergeants. I miss that. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I lived in the barracks again. Yeah. Wake up in the morning, go to the chow hall, work out, you know, go patrol, go PT.
You know, the older I get, and when I reflect back on my time in the military, I also realize, and especially because I've been working as a journalist, I've often seen the dark side of things. When I reflect back on my own experience in the military, I realize how fortunate I was that I had these moral, ethical leaders who pushed me in the right direction. Yeah. And, you know, if I were to try some kind of bullshit, or somebody else was to try to pull some bullshit, they'd set us on the right path.
Sure.
And as a journalist, I've worked on stories where that sort of leadership wasn't present and things really derailed. Yeah. So the more I look back on it, I realize how lucky I was. And I admire those guys that much more.
Absolutely.
My squad leader, my platoon sergeant, my team sergeant, my team leader. I admire those guys even more than I did back then.
Yeah. And I did some stupid things. I mean, we all do stupid things. And I did some kooky things. And I had great leadership that helped me out and work through things. And to get me on the right path, you know, get my bearings straight. And so I miss the mentorship, the people. But that's also, I think, one of the reasons why I'm doing Camp Zen Commando in Costa Rica, cool. You know, to kind of do something similar, but just in a different manner.
Right.
You know, and share with these folks that come down all these different life hacks that I've experienced and have learned, share with that. And give them an opportunity to do something different.
Well, it's like we were saying. I mean, the military itself has not yet instituted some of these things, some of these programs to help guys cope. So, I mean, it's kind of, I guess, incumbent. Well, not incumbent, but, I mean, it's great that guys like you have stepped up and are helping to fill that void.
Yeah. And there's a lot of that going on, I think. Programs being stood up and outreaches, things of that nature. And a lot of these folks that are senior leaders in the military that have been in for 30 some odd years, they just don't know. You know, they don't know there's other programs, you know, and how to do things and how to reach people, like yoga.
I mean, we all have known that sergeant major who just cannot leave the military.
I know.
Has been there for like 30 years,
yep,
35
the daily
years.
Seven.
Yeah.
One way of doing fitness, one type of boot, only this type of boot.
And it's a stereotype, but there is some truth to it that those sergeant majors get out of the military when they do, they're dead 6 months later. Yeah, I know. We've seen it.
Yep. And
it's like they can't live without the military, literally.
Yep. Or they go back to doing something in the civilian sector as well that they've always done. You know, that's fine, too.
Yeah. If it works for them.
If it works.
Sure.
As long as you're happy. So long as you're happy and you're being healthy.
There's an old retired SEAL, old school guy. I'm not going to say his name now. I should reconnect with him, see if he'll come on the podcast sometime. He's an amazing guy. Been around from Vietnam all the way through the 90s. And I remember talking to him on the phone. God, I hate the civilian world. It's horrible out here. And he had a bunch of interesting stories about how, like, he jumped around to different assignments in the Navy. And, like, we'll promise you another 3 years in the Navy if you go do this thing down in South America or whatever. And he'd be like, okay, I'm on it. Super good guy.
Nice.
But, he'll be one of the first people to tell you, oh, the civilian world is horrible.
But that, you know, that goes with your relationships, the relationship you have with your environment. You know, is everyone horrible around you? Do civilians suck? Yeah, I mean, what's your relationship with your environment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you see the world around you when you get out, when you open up the door in the morning and you're driving down Interstate 95 or Route 5? You know, how do you see people?
Found also is that it's about building something for yourself on the outside, which is sounds fairly selfish, but we're not in the military anymore. That's the reality of it. It's not that like completely like selfless service. Mm. So, I mean, I feel like you have to create a life for yourself, whether maybe that's your kid, your wife, your hobby, or what, or you have a career, whatever the hell it is.
Yep. Sure.
You have to move on and find something for you.
A new purpose.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. You have to rebrand yourself, re-identify, rewire yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What is your purpose? You know, and when I left the military, I did my stint up in corporate America, up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, you know, trying to find a new purpose in life. You know, what's that purpose going to be? And getting out, I had no clue. I had zero clue. You know, you think you do when you're getting out, but I didn't know what industry I wanted to go into, you know, medical industry, IT, technology. I had no clue. You know, you have to go out there and figure it out and come up with a purpose. And for me, my purpose now is Zen Commando down in Costa Rica and just providing an outreach for people, just information. Here's information.
Yeah.
You know, lessons learned from myself and others to make your life a little bit better.
I think a lot of people are going to be excited once this gets off the ground. I've some emails I want to get to. Want to recap some other stuff. Before we do, I want to talk about what we have going on here at Hurricane Group, of course, as I try to talk to you guys about every episode. Crate Club, that long-anticipated collaboration watch that we did with NFW Watches, that's in the latest premium crate, as Jack was saying that he has. Mm-hmm. We have different tiers of membership depending on how prepared you want to be, and gift options are available as well. I've been talking to Scott Whitner and all the guys from the Loadout Room and the guys currently working on bringing you 100% custom products in 2019. That's everything from sunglass cases to EDC bags. If you listen to the last episode with Brandon Webb, we were talking about the Panthera design, which has become like our in-house brand of stuff that we're putting out there. I'm not wearing it today, but I usually have my Panthera hoodie that they did, which looks
awesome. We have a hoodie? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has a... Brandon gave a few of them out
at SHOT Show. I'm wearing the vintage hoodie.
Well, you know, if people see it, because I've gotten the tweets and Instagram messages, they're like, where could I get a soft rep hoodie?
And this thing is old.
Yeah, man. We don't have any of it anymore. But, yeah, no, the Panthera hoodie I wear all the time, and they're doing all that camo print. It was like a collaboration between Brandon and Jason Kenitzer, which is pretty cool. So you'll see a lot more of that with these 100% custom products in 2019. It's a club for men, by men. You can check that all out at crateclub.us. That's crateclub.us. If you're a dog owner, I know a lot of you guys are. We have that partnership with Kuna, as you've heard before. They have a team of trained canine handlers picking out a box for your dog every month of healthy treats and training aids. It's custom built for your dog's size and age as well. The products are U.S. sourced, all natural, and they not only promote a healthy diet, but also promote being active with your dog. And it doesn't matter what type of dog you have. You could have a Chihuahua, a Pit Bull. It's all custom built for your dog's size and your dog's age. That's kuna.dog, and that's kuna.dog. Last thing I'm going to mention before we get into emails and all that is the Spec Ops channel. That's our channel that offers the most exclusive shows, documentaries, and interviews covering the most exciting military content today. The Spec Ops channel premiere show Training Cell follows former Special Operations Forces as they participate in the most advanced training in the country. Everything from shooting schools, defensive driving, jungle and winter warfare, climbing, and much more. A lot of stuff that's up your alley. So you can check that all out at thespecopschannel.com and take advantage of a limited time offer of 50% off your membership. It's only $4.99 a month. And we also have the Spec Ops Channel app developed by our web developer, Chris. So you can watch all this on your mobile device, which is pretty damn cool. A lot of great content.
And there's an app for Soft Rep Radio.
Soft Rep Radio app.
Yeah.
And people always ask me as well, where can I get all the like really far back episodes? SoftRepRadio.com, because those aren't on SoundCloud anymore.
Really?
No, a lot of it, I mean, it's a lot to get into. I took down a lot of them because one of the main reasons was, remember, for a while we had a paywall and we're putting up stuff a week later.
Yeah.
So it was like I was talking about that every episode. It was old information at that point. I had live reads and ads that were not in the web version. So I was like, let me just take these off and you could listen to them at SoftRepRadio.com. So every episode we've ever done, sans like one or two episodes, is on there. There were a couple that Brandon was like, take this down, and I won't get into that. But there's some good ones, too. I still have them, but they're not on SoftRepRadio.com.
They're not. You know, we need to, like, take those and sell them on the black market, like, put them on CD-ROMs and, like...
One of them would be big. One of them was a big guest.
They weren't with me, though.
No. We took down... I remember two specific episodes we took down. I remember, actually, there's more than that. There's a few we had to take down because of a certain lawsuit. There's... One we had to take down because
Todd's
of a,
breaking out cold sweat like, oh, shit.
There's one we had to take down because of a throat punch of the week that, you know, Brandon was like, take this down. I'm cool with this person now. And then I don't know exactly why. This is another story, but the biggest one that's no longer up is the Jesse Ventura interview.
I know,
that's
remember
no longer
that.
There. But Jesse Ventura's phone connection was also terrible during that interview.
The recording was not very good. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in like a hotel in Mexico, and it was really bad. And he was
Jesse Ventura here.
He was going. He completely filibustered too. If you remember,
yeah.
You ask him one question, he was like. The weird thing was the stipulation with getting him on was he was like, I don't want to talk about Chris Kyle, the lawsuit, or any of that.
And no, that's all he talked about.
And we were like, all right, we won't. And then he talked it. So we didn't even have to mention it, and he got into it. I've had other guests do that in the past. You know, I feel like I can mention this because I think it's kind of funny, and he's pretty
Ian's
open about it.
Ian's dropping dimes.
Yeah. So I've booked Kevin Sorbo before for a David Webb show, and I was working on David Webb show. And I swear, I had voicemails from Kevin Sorbo where he was like, look, I won't say specifically what he said, but Kevin Sorbo is a pretty right-wing, Christian, conservative guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty open about this on voicemails. He's like, I'm going to get blacklisted from Hollywood if I get into this. I am not going to talk about this. Just like ask me about the work I'm promoting, and I won't get into politics. And then the first thing he would do when he would sit down for the interview, talk about like the Democrats are terrible, they're destroying this country, and you didn't even have to ask him.
Kevin Sorbo's kind of like James Woods that way, isn't he? That he's just out and proud. I'm conservative Christian. It is what it is. And
yeah, he put out that God's Not Dead movie, and they were like God's Not Dead too. So he's pretty open about it. So I don't know what the issue is. But sometimes these guys are like, I'm not going to say anything. And then they say everything that they said they're not going to say.
I think it's just how life is out in L.A. for people in that line of work. It's like you get excommunicated.
Stacey Dash, she certainly has.
Oh,
after.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When she came out and originally supported Mitt Romney and, you know, it's like, I'm a Republican, I'm a Trump supporter. Like, a lot of people don't want to work with her.
Mitt Romney sounds so tame now in 2018.
I know. It's true. They acted like he was this horrible guy who was gonna. I remember the big thing was he shut down KB Toys, but like that's what he did as
the business guy. Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, if the business was no longer profitable, what do you want him to do?
And Toys R Us shut down inevitably as well down the line.
You are right, though. It is funny to think of a time where the media made Mitt Romney
seem like an extremist.
Yeah,
yeah.
and remember actually when Howard Dean ran for president. And you remember that speech where he was like, we're going to Kansas. We're going to take back the White House. Yeah. You remember that? And they were like, this guy's way too crazy to be the president. That sounds like nothing. Like he was excited about campaigning. And that was considered crazy in those days.
That was
like,
extremist.
Yeah. You don't.
The guy's
like,
just
if
passionate.
If only they can see in the future, like what we have now. Not, you know, not saying negative or positive.
Right.
But he's pretty crazy compared to. That
was mild.
Yeah.
What did they call that? Like the Overton window or something like that, where like you're changing perceptions gradually over time or something like that?
I haven't heard the term, but I know it was like considered that was like what sunk his campaign was this infamous scream of him when he was like yelling about campaigning all over the country. And
my, how things have changed.
Yeah. All right, I want to get to these emails,
though. And next time, we have to solicit some emails ahead of time for Todd because he can answer questions. I can't, so...
Well, I did mention that Todd was on the last show, but these are actually emails for you specifically.
Oh, boy.
So,
nice.
No, one of them very positive. One
question
of them,
one.
One of them a bit of a correction. So this is from Robbie. Hey, guys, I promise to keep this brief, as Ian always asks, in hopes that I hear from you guys. I've been listening from episode 1 to 400. That's huge.
Awesome.
Ever since the show started, and I'm a huge fan. But I have to disagree with something Jack said in episode 400. people don't listen to the show to hear him talk. Jack, you are obviously very well educated, but also very well spoken. I always enjoy hearing your thoughts and views on things.
Oh, thank
you. That's positive. He disagreed that people don't listen to hear you.
I appreciate that.
Along those lines, are you planning on selling any autographed copies of your book, meaning your book, Murphy's Law, via online when you release it? I'm sure you'll do a signing there in New York City when it gets released, but for those of us around the country, I'd love to purchase an autographed copy. And then he says, keep up the awesome work and look forward to episode 500. That's pretty far away, but
I haven't put any thought into that yet, but I will figure something out because I know people do like autographed books, and I autograph copies of my novels for people who want them. So I'll figure that out. There'll be something. We'll announce it on the podcast.
Sounds good. And then this one is from Will. Hi, Jack and Ian, and I assume Will is from the UK, judging by this email. Oh, yeah. Greetings from across the pond. There we go. I'm serving as a Royal Marine Commando and am a big fan of your work. Love the no bullshit and no partisan approach to global news and stories and the interesting guests that you guys have on. On another note, I've noticed that Jack has referred a couple of times to the British military being 80,000 strong. Although the army is just over 80,000, the military has about 150,000 people, plus around another 80,000 reservists. I know that's a drop in the ocean where the U.S. is concerned, but thought he would appreciate
the fact check. Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, no, thank you.
And he says, keep up the good work. That's from Will. Then he says, P.S., can you point me towards any of your earlier shows that had British guests on? The one I could think of is 210. I was looking back. It's 210. We had Big Phil Campion on, former British SAS. Mm-hmm. So that's SoftRepRadio.com.
There's an SAS Sergeant Major I've been trying to get on. I'll have to reach out to him again.
Is Phil the only one?
British 22 SAS, Phil might be the only one. We had Aussie SAS on before.
I tell you a funny story about that show, by the way? This has happened a handful of times, I hate to say. Like, I hate doing the shows on Skype when it's from home because the recording. It's not like when I have a mixing board and I can see levels on here and be like, okay, we're recording. You're relying on this device to record the show. So as you know, there's been like two or three times where the show didn't record. We did an entire show. That happened on that show with
Phil. Really?
And luckily, I didn't ask him to do this. That was a show with me, Eric Davis, and Phil. Eric Davis recorded the whole thing and sent it to me. I was like, yes. Nice. It was such a lifesaver. The worst, though, was still that Jack and I did an entire show
with Jocko Willink
and Leif Babin, and it did not record.
And it was a really good interview, too. They were really great.
It is the worst feeling of a giant panic attack when, like, you go to the screen to edit, and you just see a flat line, and, yeah. That was back in the SiriusXM studios, and it was because someone didn't have the microphones in program. It's the type of thing I should have double-checked. I didn't. You know, you got to take full responsibility. It's kind of something. It's funny because that's something they talked about during the interview.
Well,
taking ownership. I take ownership. I fucked up, but we lost a great interview.
Priorities of work, making sure you're going through that.
Jocko's a big deal now, but if him and Leif ever want to come on the show again, more than welcome. Happy to have them.
Jocko's huge now because of Joe Rogan.
I'd like to get on a just changing directions a little bit back to the SAS. Someone from Kiwi SAS, the New Zealanders, and I'm told they're a very small but professional unit. Mm-hmm. So not too many of those guys around, but I'd love to have one of those dudes on the show sometime.
Yeah, I love when we have international special ops guys and.
Yeah, we had Jeff DePatie on, who's a JTF-2 operator. Was it the last show or two?
No,
shows
it was
ago?
A few shows,
two
back. Shows back. Yeah, because we had on the or was it? I'm trying to think. Was it three or yeah? No, it was about three because last show Brandon hosted. Show before that, Will Cow. Show before that,
gotcha.
And he was great.
Yeah,
but we've had
really nice guy.
We've had South African guys on. We've had Jaeger Corps, which is Denmark, right?
Denmark. Aussie SAS, British SAS. Who else? I don't know.
You've had Yazidi fighters, not, you know.
I have a bunch of other contacts. I mean, we can also delve into and see who's interested.
Do any of the Korean guys speak English, like fluently, that you met?
I'd have to check and see who's out there.
That'd be cool.
That would be
the generals I'm talking about that you've met, but they can't really come on, right? The current
I have to probe the wire a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's about building relationships. You got to build some trust.
What's your placement access?
Yeah.
Put it out there.
Nice. Yeah. So Veterans Day, Jack and I went to Amadeo Looney's for Andrew Wilkow's event, which was cool. Jim West led that motorcycle ride, apparently, yeah, from New Jersey here to New York City. He had a giant smile on his face. He had a great time.
His massive trike he has. He has a Harley, like 1,300-pound Harley-Davidson motorcycle he was showing off. I posted a picture of it on Twitter.
I should put that on Instagram. Rick Iannucci was there.
Rick Iannucci, super cool guy.
And
I asked him if he'd come on the podcast, and he said yes. I got a hard confirm.
All right. From Rick Iannucci. Every time I've asked him, you know, Rick honestly loves to talk. Every time I call that guy, it's like a 40-minute update. And I'm like, come on the podcast with us sometime. And he's like, I don't like to talk about myself, but have this guy on.
I'd like to introduce you to Rick sometime, Todd. Rick is a former SF, served in the U.S. Marshals, and he runs a charity called Horses for Heroes.
Nice.
And he has a ranch out in New Mexico that he'll have veterans come down to, and they'll do like horseback riding for like a week. So
really
you guys would have a lot in common.
Is he local?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Yeah. Okay. I'll look him up.
There was another guy at Wilkow's event who lost his arm, who had his own ranch I was talking to.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Rick introduced me to him, too. Said that this dude, he had never been off the res until he deployed to combat with the military. Grew up on an Indian reservation.
Jeez.
Yeah, and he had, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but the... For his arm.
Yeah, he had a prosthetic.
Yeah.
I believe, I didn't get a chance to talk to him in depth, but I believe he was in an ambush.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't, obviously, you know, it's an uncomfortable thing to bring up, but he was a really cool guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. And, you know, I was like, oh, do you work for Horses for Heroes? He's like, no, I got my own ranch. So I guess it's just a normal thing to have there. But Rick's is like, bring veterans there, riding horses, which he says is a very therapeutic thing for vets who have, you know, post-traumatic stress issues. So I still want to go there. My mom has been talking about going to Santa Fe during her birthday in April. So I'm like, if I do that, I want to visit the ranch.
Yeah, I told Rick I'd go sometime after Christmas, maybe February or March or something like that.
Seems like it'd be a fun
time. I've always wanted to. It's just a matter of finding the time to head down and do it.
Yeah, so I believe the website is horsesforheroes.org. If you guys listening want to donate to them, it's a great charity.
Yeah.
Andrew raised a ton of money. And then I met...
When you get Zen Commando stood up, we'd send... Yep. I'd go down there and we'd send somebody else down there and do a good article for the website and everything, take some pictures.
Broadcast from there.
Yeah, yeah.
On the beach.
Cool. Sounds like a plan.
From the rappel tower.
but yeah, Andrew raised a ton of money. And I met a couple of our listeners there. Who were really cool. You know, they heard about the event because of the podcast that Andrew was on. So for a Sunday, pretty packed.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, what did you do on Veterans Day, actually, or the Marine Corps birthday, since same weekend?
Yeah, I went to a small event on Marine Corps birthday and celebrated with some old Marines, you know, November 10th. Up there in Middletown, Connecticut.
The Marine Corps birthday is a big deal for you guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the world stops. It's a huge deal. I mean, it's just like, yeah. Great experience connecting with some old guys from Korea, World War II, and just, you know, the Marine Corps birthday, like Jack says, it's a big deal. You know, you just stop and pause and reflect. And but we had a dinner, did the birthday cake. Cutting the birthday cake and the commandant's message. I'll probably come back from Costa Rica next year for the Marine Corps birthday.
Nice.
It's one of the things you have to do. But, yeah, I just did that.
That's cool. So. Yeah, no, we had a great Veterans Day, and I think the most important thing, raising money for veterans charities, and it was great to see Andrew do that, as he does every year. So last show with you and the last show with Brandon, we talked about the Dan Crenshaw thing. Should I play the clip of Dan Crenshaw appearing on SNL and kind of responding?
Go for it.
Yeah, might as well. It was a great appearance. So,
can you imagine being Pete Davidson's mom? It can't be easy when everyone's mad at your son and roommate. No, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. It was a poor choice of words. The man is a war hero, and he deserves all the respect in the world. And if any good came of this, maybe it was that for one day, the left and the right finally came together to agree on something, that I'm a dick.
You think?
Lieutenant Commander Dave Prentzer, everyone, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for making a Republican look good.
You gotta stop saying that, man. You've been saying it all day. Please, look, I just wanted to say, for people that don't know, the reason you're wearing an eye patch right now is that you lost your eye to an IED in Afghanistan during your third combat tour. And I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you saying that.
So we good?
We're good. Apology accepted. Just keep breathing. It sounds like my phone's ringing.
You're gonna answer that?
No, I was just gonna let it ring because that's really
good. And obviously the
answer.
Joke there is Ariana Grande, Pete's ex.
Ariana Grande, well, cool, man. Yeah. But,
oh, do you know her?
All right, so that's funny. All right, so. Last week, I made a joke about a picture of you, and I feel like it would only be fair if you got me back and made fun of a picture of me. Does that sound okay?
I don't really need to do that.
No, come on. I deserve it.
All right, I'll do it.
Please?
One.
All right.
And now, first impressions with Lieutenant Commander Dan Crenshaw.
Thanks, Colin. This is Pete Davidson. He looks like if the meth from Breaking Bad was a person.
Not bad. So there, we're even. All right.
Hold on, well, one more. This is.
All right.
He looks like a troll doll with a tapeworm.
Yeah, man. All right, that's good. We should wrap this up.
Oh, hold on. No, this is fun. This is fun.
Cool.
He looks like Martin Short in the Santa Claus 3. By the way, one of these people was actually good on SNL.
Oh. No, you're right. No, you're not wrong.
Okay, but seriously. There's a lot of lessons to learn here. Not just that the left and right can still agree on some things, but also this, Americans can forgive one another. We can remember what brings us together as a country and still see the good in each other. This is Veterans Day weekend, which means that it's a good time for every American to connect with a veteran. Maybe say thanks for your service, but I would actually encourage you to say something else. Tell a veteran, never forget. When you say never forget to a veteran, you are implying that as an American, you are in it with them, not separated by some imaginary barrier between civilians and veterans, but connected together as grateful fellow Americans who will never forget the sacrifices made by veterans past and present, and never forget those we lost on 9/11, heroes like Pete's father. So I'll just say, Pete, never forget.
Never forget. And that is for both of us.
Yeah, so I mean, it was just a great moment they shared, and the reference at the end, I think I mentioned on the show with Brandon, so Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter, died in 9/11,
jeez.
Which he has poked fun at before, which to most people be like, that's crazy, but it's just kind of his brand of comedy, and what he said about Dan Crenshaw just didn't go over well, saying, oh, he lost his eye in combat or something, so I thought it was great that they got together and had this moment, and it was like it was a very unifying moment. Which
we had Dan on the show a while back on this podcast, and he talked about how running for office, he found his new purpose. He was like, "I want to continue to serve," and it's interesting to see how things worked out for him. He's now an elected congressman.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
a lot of military folks are heading towards the politics side, government side. Which is really great. You guys need to have Pete come on the show.
I would have him on. Why not? It'd be a game for sure. Yeah. I feel like he handled that the best. And you mentioned on Twitter, like, he couldn't have handled that any better. There's those people who would probably say, like, honestly, fuck NBC. I'm not going to go on. They had this guy, like, they allowed him to take a shot at me. Because there are those people, I mean, who are very bitter about this stuff.
Yeah.
And he came on and said something positive and also said some funny shit that people are going to laugh at. So.
Well, I mean, Dan's been in the shit before. He has thick skin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not anything new to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
Especially, you're going to go from Navy SEAL to Congress. Like, yeah. You better have thick skin, brother.
You better have alligator skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Better be tough.
Yeah. And to lose your eye in combat like he did, he obviously does.
Yeah, he's obviously a tough guy. He sucked it up through some stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, I guess we'll wrap things up here. at Zen Commando on Instagram, because I was looking, you just launched the social media stuff at Zen Commando on Instagram.
Yep.
At Todd Opalski on Twitter, Todd Opalski, ZenCommando.com. Anything else? I mean, we love having you on.
Thanks,
man,
for having me.
Yeah,
I really do.
Anytime.
And to all the listeners out there, keep listening. Thank you for all that you guys do for the support of the station, and let us know what we can do to help out.
And if you know a yoga instructor.
If you know a yoga instructor, send them my way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Can't wait to have you on again.
Yep.
And I believe we should have Ricky Poe in studio next episode, level 3 combatives instructor for the Army, and just all-around great dude that I know. So he should be here in studio, now NYPD. So that'll be cool to talk about his transition as well. Appreciate it as always, guys.
Awesome.
Listening to Soft Rep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Soft Rep Radio.